Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
To you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. A cold morning, and hope you stay warm. It's going to start getting warmer in the days to come. Yeah, that's good news. We're happy to hear that. 22 degrees right now, 22 currently. But like we say, the high today is going to be 46. Tomorrow, about the same, 44, 45. It'll be that way for a few days, and then we'll start getting back into the 50s next week. So we'll feel like it's summertime again. We're going to be talking this morning about your fire safety and the things that the Murfreesboro Fire Department does. And Chief Mark Folks is with us. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Good to have you with us today.
I'm happy to be here.
I tell you, it's such a pleasure always to have you here. You're always full of positive information, and you help treat this community so special with the passion you have for helping others through firework. We were over at Fire Hall number 4 this past weekend. The Woman's Club was there, and your facility just welcomes people in.
Yeah, we're very proud of that facility, and if anybody in the community hasn't come by to see it yet, you're welcome to come by any time. Station 4 is over on Medical Center Parkway near the hospital. It's right there beside the river bridge. It's easily visible right there. It's got a big number 4 on it, but the area that we're really excited about in that building that kind of welcomes visitors in is the History and Education Center, and it's got our 1892 steam engine in there that's been restored, so we've got an old fire truck in there, and then we've got the newer fire trucks in there that respond to our community and provide service to them, and as well as kind of a timeline of our fire rescue department and everything that we've accomplished over the years and everything that we've done for the community over the years, as well as some kind of memorabilia in there and other things that the community would definitely be interested in.
The history of the Murfreesboro Fire Department, basically.
Yes.
And so, and this last Saturday, it was a storytelling reading of books for kids. And when you put kids, cookies, fire trucks, and good books together, you've got a winning combination.
That's exactly right. And we appreciate our guest readers for coming over. You came over and read for us on Saturday, as well as Mayor McFarland came over and read on Saturday, as well as some of our personnel read some Saturday. But we had giveouts or handouts for the kids for books, as fire department things like the toy hats and things like that for the kids. But yeah, they love that station. Of course, there's a slide in that station because it's a two-story station for our firefighters to safely egress from upstairs to downstairs quickly so that we can respond. But children also love to slide that slide. And so the joy that they get from being over at that station and coming down that slide is something else to see.
So now the slide is what's used today instead of the poles.
Yes, sir. They're a whole lot more safe than the poles. Poles created a lot of accidents as far as knees and ankles and things like that because you're literally sliding straight down a pole, and if you mess anything up at all, then you're going to probably get injured on those poles. The slide's a much safer route, but it's just as effective as far as getting you down, not having to run downstairs, but getting you from upstairs to downstairs very quickly.
Now, tell us, and that's where you keep the 100-foot ladder.
Yes, sir.
That fire. What has that enabled us to do that we couldn't do before?
Well, several things. One, we need that coverage as far as having the ability to handle some of our taller buildings, such as the hospital, which just recently expanded and added more additional floors onto some of the areas of the hospital, as well as Embassy Suites in the NHC Tower. here downtown, we can cover all of those buildings with that aerial ladder. But we just used that aerial ladder this past weekend to put out an apartment fire that had actually started in the attic of some apartments on Las Casas Pike. And it's very, very helpful to have that platform where our firefighters can safely be in that platform but see where they're spraying water to and affecting rescues and things like that from that fire truck.
Yeah, we covered that fire, and it was interesting in that it was so big and cold outside, too, that the firefighters were having a difficult time with it, and so they brought in those big ladders.
Yes. It became very dangerous because of where the fire started and the truss construction and the roof for our firefighters to stay in the building to try to put out the fire. And so our firefighters evacuated the building, and we used the aerial device, Ladder 4, and we had a couple other ladders over there as well to be able to handle that blaze.
So that is one of the ways that this makes it safety for the firefighters. Now, one of the other things, and we've touched on this before, but we have to remember the community is growing pretty rapidly. With fire station number 4, you're right beside the Stones River, and you have a swift water team that does water rescues as well.
Yes, we got a very very well detailed swift water rescue team and flood water rescue team out of that station. We actually just had another boat that we acquired through a grant from Firehouse Subs, and we appreciate our partners at Firehouse Subs for enabling us to receive that boat via the grant. But that enables us to have access to the Stones River as well as areas of the city that may flood if we get torrential rains, different things like that to be able to affect rescues.
And, of course, we've been having those rains. Last year, this time, we didn't have much. We had enough rain that we needed, but didn't have more than we needed. We've had a lot of rain lately.
Yeah, we have had a lot of rain. And last year, you know, at this time, we hadn't had that much rain, like you said. But then February and late March, we had the rain that happened over that 3 or 4 days where we had a lot of flooding in our area. And so we're heightened awareness on that, making sure that we're ready to go with anything that happens. Because if we get that much rain again in late February, early March, then with as much rain as we've already had and the water table's up, we're going to be dealing with some rescue situations and some more intense flooding this year, potentially.
One thing we have not talked about in a while, and that is, I know you've had as one of your goals to get this community have a number one rating of the ISO ratings. We're number 2 right now, which is a rare thing. I mean, that's right up at the very top. But number 1 is almost unheard of.
Yeah, well, number 1 is very difficult to achieve. I think there's 6 or 7 fire departments in the state that are a number 1 classification as far as ISO Class 1. And ISO Class 1 means that you have you've enabled your community to have the best fire service that they can possibly have, and that's not just us. We owe our friends both at Consolidated Utility and Murfreesboro Water Resources a huge hand in that for providing the water supply that we need to extinguish fires, as well as our dispatch component for Murfreesboro Emergency Communications, our 911, Rutherford County E911, et cetera, that all go into making that better for our community and making our ISO classification better. But that truly means that we are the best of the best. And ISO visited us on November the 14th, and so it takes a while for that grading to get processed and get back, but we've sent them all the information that they've requested on our department and our community, and we're hoping to hear back from them. It's probably going to be somewhere around March, April, May time frame. They have told us that we would receive something back on knowing what our classification will be going forward.
Now, what do you have to do to get that? I mean, they've come by and taken a look and checked everything. So, I mean, you had guidelines or something of that sort, I guess.
Yes, we actually have to deal, a lot of that deals with what we have equipment-wise. We had fire trucks that came down here and gathered in a parking lot, and the ISO manager that was here actually inspected those trucks to make sure they had all the equipment on them that was necessary to do our job effectively. They checked the Water Resources Department and Consolidated Utility District, our water flows throughout the city, to make sure that we have the water flows that we need to be able to extinguish fires, as well as performance, our dispatch center's performance and our performance on how well we respond to calls, how quickly we respond to calls, and how effective we are in dealing with those fire calls.
Okay, so these are things that you know you passed that section of the test. Are there any other areas that, you know, you don't know about? Or do you think that we passed it and we're just waiting for time?
Well, we're hoping that we passed it. We feel like we did. Of course, we're I'm very confident in the personnel that we have and the job that they do every single day. And I think that they do such a tremendous job that it's going to show on that rating. And I feel confident that we will get there. But it's just a matter of waiting to see if everything comes back on the grading the way that we intend for it to. But at a minimum, we know that we will keep our Class 2 rating, but we are truly thinking that we will get a Class 1 rating whenever that comes from ISO.
Now, with the Class 2 rating, when we went to that, everybody noticed a difference, a reduction in insurance, fire insurance. Will we notice similar improvements?
It may. It just all that depends on the insurance company that you deal with and how they use the ISO ratings to evaluate their rates. Residential rates probably won't notice that much of a rate decrease, if any at all. They may notice a little bit, but where we'll find larger rate increases or decreases, I'm sorry, will be with commercial businesses. Commercial businesses will likely experience, if we go from a Class 2 to Class 1, what history has told us is that they will experience a 3% to an 8% decrease in rates for their commercial businesses, and that makes a huge difference.
And the main thing is it makes our community safer, I would imagine.
Absolutely. It just shows us that we're meeting the benchmarks and the standards to keep our community as safe as we possibly can.
Isn't there something in the ISO qualifications that is tied to how close the fire hall is to homes and businesses?
Yeah, in the past, ISO rated it as they wanted an engine company within 1.5 miles of every built-upon structure and a ladder company within 2.5 miles of every built-upon structure, and they do that a little bit differently now. They look at your performance and how quickly you can get to a fire is basically what they use on that. And so we have to have fire stations located within certain parameters of our community or within ranges of our community closely located. That way we can get there and meet the performance standards that ISO tell us we need to meet. And, of course, I've been in this business for a little bit over 30 years now. I actually had my anniversary last week. I started in Knoxville Fire back in January 16th of 1990. So I just hit my 30th anniversary. And over the years, my experience has been, and, of course, it's proven with studies, but it's kind of obvious. You really don't need a study to prove it, that when it comes to an emergency situation, whether it's a fire or an emergency medical call or a vehicle accident, time makes the difference in a person's survivability and them having a good quality of life or not a good quality of life if they do survive. And so having those stations built upon closer makes a tremendous difference in that. And us having those stations there to where we can respond makes a tremendous difference in the outcomes that we receive, not just on fires, but medical calls and every other type of response that we could do.
Now, the last time you were on, the one thing that I really remembered well, because it was a little frightening, was the fact that the fire, once it gets started, because of the material that's in our furniture at home, the draperies and everything else, it flames up so much more quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mentioned before, and I've kind of said it time and time again, when you get furniture that is what we call the legacy furniture, which was what was in houses back in the 70s and probably early 80s, most of that furniture was made out of cotton, fibers, wood, just natural materials, not synthetic materials. Now, basically everything that's in your home is made out of something synthetic, from your TVs to anything that you have, the Alexas or the Google Homes that we have, and all those things are made out of plastics or synthetics. Every bit of that burns a whole lot hotter and faster than natural fibers do. And so in the past, on that legacy furniture, we may see a room come to flashover where everything is hot enough to auto-ignite within that room in about 27 to 30 minutes is how long it took from the time a fire started. Now that has gone from 27 to 30 minutes to 4 to 8 minutes with the materials that we've got inside of a house. So it's critically important that people understand that, have working smoke alarms in their homes, really have an escape plan to get out of their house quickly, not try to go save anything that they material possession or otherwise, because that deadly smoke can overcome you very quickly and that fire is going to grow very quickly.
So the smoke is more dangerous now than it used to be.
Much more dangerous. Natural fibers don't give off any of the chemicals or the things that really, really harm you. Now, it's not good for you to breathe in a lot of smoke, obviously, but of anything, even wood smoke. But synthetic fibers give off hydrogen cyanide. So hydrogen cyanide is obviously deadly and gives off other chemicals such as benzene and other things that are just very detrimental to the human. And those things can overcome you very quickly in a fire.
So if you were thinking, I'm just going to run in and get these family portraits or this or that, it could be the
end. Don't even think about it. Yeah.
Okay. So these are things you need to think about. Is there, because you don't have a whole lot of time to get there. I mean, not only is that flashover in 4 to 8 minutes, a lot of this is determined on when you are notified. If a neighbor or a passing person in front of the house calls you, it may be a few minutes after the fire started. So you've lost some time already.
Absolutely. And we do our very, very best. We're working several fronts now on our dispatch times to make sure our dispatch times are lower. And we make sure that our stations are located to where we can respond very quickly. We can arrive safely, but we respond very quickly to be able to get there. But that early notification is critical for us to also be able to salvage the home or the people that are within the home. But it's intensely critical for everybody to get out of the building. Just make sure that they're out of the building and they're safe. Everything that's in your home can be replaced. I know that there's probably some pictures and stuff that people want to gather up, but human life cannot be replaced. And make sure that you've got everybody out and they're safe, because it can very quickly overcome you.
As we think about that fire that occurred last week at the apartment complex, 12 units in the apartment, 3 stories tall. It was a big place. Was the fact that it started and just engulfed the whole thing so quickly, was that because of, you were talking about the upholstery, the curtains, the different types of materials that we have today that we didn't have. Is that what created that being a problem?
Yeah, we haven't really determined as of yet exactly what caused that fire on Saturday, but most of the time that is what happens. The upholstery or things within that room get involved in fire, and they can become very hot very quick, and many more things start to ignite very, very quickly as well, and that's what makes the fire grow so fast. I'm not sure exactly what the cause. Like I said, that's still under investigation what the cause was Saturday, but we are it just concerns us for getting everybody out of the home safely, and we just want to make sure everyone's the working smoke alarms, especially when fires happen at night, are the biggest thing that makes sure that someone is alerted to a fire going on within their home, and they can get out safely and effectively in an early amount of time.
We really want you to listen closely to what's being said on today's program, because this literally can save your life. And I'm guessing, and it's strictly a guess, but with 12 units in an apartment, this is 12 times the number of curtains and furniture and all of this upholstery material. That's a bad situation.
Yeah, it can be a very bad situation when you've got that much stuff in a house or in an apartment building. You've got, like you said, you've got 12 different units that all have those furnishings within them that you would have in a normal house.
Murfreesboro Fire Chief Mark Faulks is our guest this morning, and we're going to pause and check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back, and when we return, we'll open up the phone lines. So if you have a question, I mean, this is important for you to be able to talk one-on-one with our fire chief, because it could be some information that will save your life.
Hey, hi, and hello there.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett.
Fun lovers and truth seekers.
Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS AM FM online.
I'm Peter Demas, inviting you to eat with our family at Demas's Restaurant. We've expanded our tables in order to accommodate large groups. So if you have 12 or 15, we can kind of get you close to each other. We created systems to go along with it. We have spent our time and energy really focusing on making certain that we can do that and get the food out. We want to make certain that we can accommodate you and serve your needs. This is Peter Demas, and I'm inviting your family to come eat with my family at Demas's Restaurant at 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City. Wanted to invite you to come shop at Murfreesboro's only locally owned and family-run full-line pet store. A lot of folks are surprised when they come see us for the first time to find out how big the store really is. Animal City has 2 floors full of the best pets and only the best products for them. Come see us at Animal City and let our 30 years of experience benefit you and your pet. This is Amanda from Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Well, good morning. Still a lot of traffic volume out here, but it's moving on 24 westbound. We check it out live here up by Walden Road, Sam Ridley Parkway. Just busy out here where you would expect this time of the morning, especially headed towards the Nashville area. Buying or selling a home, call Nakisha and Tony Tate at Exit Master Realty. The Tate team, call 615-554-9795. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Thank you, Chuck. What about the Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
Partial sunshine develops here this afternoon. We'll see high in the mid-40s. Winds out of the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy skies and a low near 33. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 20.
Experience real hometown banking. I'm Shelley Rigsby, manager of First National Bank of Murfreesboro. You're treated special at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. You get full banking services, plus enjoy cookies and a cup of coffee. Discover the difference in hometown banking at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. The Bank Murfreesboro calls first. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. Member FDIC.
Hey neighbor, when you talk, others listen. If it's on Good Neighbor Talk, keep it here. WTNS, AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. Murfreesboro Fire Chief Mark Fuchs is our guest this morning. The number to link in this morning, talk or text, whichever you wish, you're in control, 615-893-1450, 615-893-1450. Our good neighbor today receiving flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts is Scott Cochran, local teacher, and he is always encouraging students to do the best. Scott Cochran, our good neighbor today. Our birthday winner is Chad Mills. Chad Mills gets the goodies from Simply Pure Sweets. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. That's the number to call, 615-893-1450. And if you have a question or comment, whatever it is, just give us a call, text or call on the phone. And we do have a text question right off the bat. The person says, in listening to the amount of time that how quickly the fire starts, is there anything that can be done to make the home safer? Can we make the home safer where we don't lose everything so quickly?
Yeah, obviously, there are several things that you can do. What we recommend for everyone that has valuable keepsakes that they want to keep is getting a fireproof safe to keep either pictures or CDs or DVD, of weddings or other things like that are keepsakes that they want to keep to make sure that those are safe. That's one aspect that you can do to keep those memories that you can't replace safe. But additionally, we talk about heating all the time, and it's very, very cold out this morning, and we talk about heating and cooking causing fires, and that's what causes a lot of our fires that are in homes. But there's major things that you can do there. One is making sure that heaters are no closer than 3 feet from any combustible surface. That's a couch, that's an ottoman, that's a chair, that's a wall, anything else that you may have if you've got a space heater or any kind of heater that is in the room operating. Making sure that you're keeping that at least 3 feet away. Always practice cooking safety. It seems like, we talk about people, and of course, everybody has so much going on in this day and time with everything happening, and a lot of people get distracted very easily, but we still see a lot of cooking fires caused by unattended cooking. So someone puts something on the stove, they've got something on there frying up, and then they leave the room, or the TV catches their attention, or otherwise in the other room, and they leave the room for just a few minutes, and then all of a sudden they've got a fire on the stove. And so we just implore everybody that if you're cooking something on the stove, especially if you're frying something, to make sure that you're attending to that at all times and make sure that you're to seeing that through and not getting distracted on going into another room or doing something else, and make sure that it's got your undivided attention, because we still see a lot of that unattended cooking fires causing fires that essentially will wind up burning up the entire kitchen. But there's several different things that you can do on those fronts. Have a fire extinguisher. That way, if a fire starts out very, very small, that way you can put it out yourself in the correct situations and those kind of things. And just making sure that you're practicing all the normal fire safety stuff that you were taught as a kid, having good egress points, making sure that heaters are not close, making sure that you don't have things piled up in the home that could cause that could get into a heating source or otherwise, or into an electrical outlet and cause a fire.
Now, if you put the fire out with a fire extinguisher and you feel like you've put it out, say a kitchen fire, is it important still to call the fire department?
Absolutely. We would still rather come out and check to make sure everything's okay. Plus, if it's caused any smoke, we can get that smoke out of your home. We've got large fans on our trucks that will get a lot of the smoke out of your home and things like that. So it's very important if you have that type of fire and you feel like you've got it put out to go ahead and have us respond, make sure that we've got it out. And we can make sure that everything's going to be okay going forward.
Okay, here's another text from a listener, and they're saying, does it cost anything if we call the fire department once we've had a small fire in the house? Is there a fee that we don't know we're going to be charged?
Absolutely not. We're here to serve the community 24/7, 365 from 10 stations, getting ready to be our 11th station when we open up the station on Blaze Drive. But we've got those stations strategically located, and there's no cost whatsoever. We are your taxes that you pay, as well as some grants that we receive and otherwise, go to completely fund our department. And we do not charge anyone any time that we respond whatsoever.
I understand that this past year that we just completed, 2019, is a record year for number of calls that you've received.
Yeah, we, for the first time ever, Murfreesboro Fire Rescue responded to over 20,000 calls this year, and we just went over that by a tad on the total number of calls that we received. But that's a record number for us, and of course it signifies that we have a growing community that's becoming very densely populated and et cetera, and we're having more medical calls, more traffic accidents, more fires, different things like that, because we've got more structures now, and things like that are happening because we're a growing community. We are working diligently to make sure that we are handling that growth. Station 11 opening up this spring on Blaze Drive is one of those things that we're doing to kind of handle that growth and the call volume within the Blackman community. We see a lot of call volume there, and that's a very densely populated area, and we're very pleased to be able to put that station online this spring.
Okay. When in spring, any idea?
We're hoping to open. We're definitely thinking we're going to open by sometime in April, but we're hoping it may even be sooner than that if everything goes well with the construction of the station.
Now, with station number 4, which was the last one to open, it has a lot of public area in it, has the old fire engine, the horse-drawn one. And will this new one in the Blackman community, will it have community areas and things of that sort?
Well, the community is welcome to any one of our stations. Now, it won't have the history area and all that stuff, because all of that memorabilia and the history timelines and things like that are kind of designed to be at Station 4 and the larger events to happen at that station. But any of our stations are open to the public at any time. We do child safety seat installations across the city. We've got child safety seat technicians trained, so if a parent out there has anything to do with that, if you have a question about your home safety or otherwise, or if you want to come by the fire station just to bring your child, or just yourself wants to see the fire station and the equipment that's serving your community, all of our stations are open at any time, and it is accommodating for the public to be able to enter the building and enjoy the space, and it's literally, it's their station. I mean, everything that we own, from our fire trucks to our stations and our personnel, work for the community, and everything that we own belongs to the community. You own it when you live in Murfreesboro and pay taxes, and so it's your station, it's your equipment. We welcome you to come by and see it.
Okay, we have another text here from a listener, and they say, we're always comparing ourselves to Hamilton County, Chattanooga, and things of that sort. We've compared the size of our schools. How do we compare with the number of fire calls? It seems that would also be a way to determine if we are similar in size or getting larger. Any idea how our fire calls, you say just over 20,000, this past year. How does that compare with Chattanooga, Knoxville, any of these places?
I'm not sure exactly how many calls Chattanooga had this past year. I haven't really looked at that. I can, but I'm not sure exactly where that's at. Chattanooga has a little bit larger population, not a lot more than we do. The thing with them, I think that's different from us, is we're more densely populated and less spread out. Knoxville is much more spread out than we are. You know, our population's coming upon what Knoxville is. We're in the 140,000s, and Knoxville is right around 180,000. Knoxville has over 100 square miles, whereas Murfreesboro is under 60 square miles. And so we are much more densely populated than those areas, and so that can create additional call volume because of the spacing and things like that. But I think we compare up pretty well with the call volume of what Chattanooga would have. They're probably, I would say that they're probably in the high 20s or maybe even low 30,000s in call volume, if I were just estimating based on their population and the size of the city.
Of course, these are not things to be proud of. We don't want.
No, we want to decrease the amount of calls that we have, and we want to. And that's what our Community Risk Reduction Division works to do all the time. We've got programs that we do in our city schools and things like that. And, of course, as you grow, your call volume is going to go up because there's just more people and more people that have medical events and things like that. But we really work to make sure that everybody's safe, from the child safety seat installations to the smoke alarm program and all the things that we have with that. The education in the schools, we partner with the city schools to do a great program that where we go in as they're teaching the STEAM program within the city schools. We go in and teach aspects of how that relates to fire safety and what the fire department does. It actually applies what they're learning about science, technology, engineering, math, and arts, of course, and we kind of look at those things as we're going into those schools to be able to teach them better. But, yeah, we're actively working to try to reduce the number of calls.
Mark, you mentioned something just a moment ago that I had not heard, and this was in the comparison of Rutherford County to Hamilton and Knox County. You mentioned that we are much more densely populated, smaller square miles, growing population. Is this part of why our traffic problem is so bad?
Yeah, I think so, we are very densely populated in a much smaller area. Of course, you know, like I said, you look at Knoxville; they've got over 100 square miles. We've got 60, so it does.
This
create
is the whole county.
No, it's the city.
Oh, the city.
Yeah, the
okay.
City. And so Knoxville's got over 100 square miles within their city limits, and we're under 60. What we have, I think the last I heard, we were about 58 square miles, something around in there, and so. You know, you put that much more, you got almost the same amount of population in 40 square miles less, or, you know, roughly 60% of what Knoxville has, then you're going to have more traffic just because of the population is more densely organized.
Does that create challenges for places like the fire department, or does that is that a plus for you? I mean, you don't have to go as far to get to, you know, the fire.
Well, we don't have to have quite as many stations when we're less square miles and less populated because we can get there faster. But, of course, if we're having a whole lot more volume within those stations, then you have to look at, is that station able to keep up with the volume of traffic, you know, of the volume of calls that they had. And that's one of the big reasons that we built Station 11 is because Station number 9 on Case and Lane was responding a lot to that Blackman community, or is responding a lot to that Blackman community currently. When we opened Station 11, that will take some of that response off of Station 9. But Station 9 is very, very – it is definitely our busiest station as far as the amount of rooftops that we have or amount of buildings that we have within each zone. Station 9 has roughly double the amount that any other station has or any other district has. And so that's the reason that we looked at building Station 11 and having that station function to where we can make sure our response times are where they need to be.
Okay, here's another text from a listener who says, I live off Memorial near Sportscom, and it also has the growing Murfreesboro Airport that is going under massive renovations right now. Do you have to have special fire equipment at the Memorial Fire Hall since it's right next door to the airport?
We have firefighting foam and some other equipment that's necessary to be able to function. We've had some of the new hangars that have been built at the airport. We'll have firefighting systems within those hangars that are capable of spraying foam and keeping up with a sprinkler system that can keep up with what is in there as far as jet fuel and other airplane fuels and things like that to handle that. But we're not the type of airport. Being a community airport, we don't have the type of heavy aircraft that are there that would require us to have an aircraft response vehicle, one of the large foam vehicles, anything like that to this point yet. But we're definitely prepared. You know, we're just right off the base of the airport, and so we are very capable of responding there very quickly and handling any situation that would be there.
We were talking during this last break, and one of the things came up in the conversation about how Murfreesboro is uniting with other emergency groups in our city, trying to, you know, work together, even more so.
Oh, yes.
And you mentioned about the dispatch in particular.
Yeah, we always try to work with our partner agencies. You know, we've done a lot of training this past year with all the agencies, the public safety agencies within Rutherford County. Unfortunately, a lot of that training is something that I wish we didn't have to train on, and that's active shooter events. But all of our agencies within Rutherford County, every public safety agency came together and did that training and completed that together. But we also get together with Rutherford County Fire, Laverne Fire, Smyrna Fire. We work in, you know, very well with them together, and we're very pleased. Rutherford County EMS, of course, we work with them on a daily basis responding to medical calls. They do a fantastic job. We get there, you know, our stations are strategically located, so a lot of times we can get there very quickly. We'll go in, and they come in and transport the patient to the hospital. We both partner with care of that patient. But now we're partnering with Rutherford County Dispatch to where we're no longer going to have to transfer calls. We're actually co-locating their dispatch center, which is off Southgate Boulevard. We're going to co-locate them into the Murfreesboro Police Department, where our Emergency Communication Center is located. When we built the headquarters building, we built that building large enough, or we built the dispatch center large enough to where it can accommodate the growth of the city, as well as hopefully co-location to where our dispatch services could become more efficient. That's what this co-location will do for us. It'll become much more efficient. Going forward, we'll have the ability to not have to transfer calls to a secondary PSAP from if the call comes in within the city for a medical call. And so that will shorten the amount of time that it takes to get that call processed. But additionally, there will be monetary savings beyond. The most important thing, of course, for me is time savings, because I'm just passionate about us being able to provide service to our community. Our department is passionate about that. And as we talked about earlier, the faster that we can get there, the better the outcomes for the patient or the fire, whatever the situation is that's going on. And so we want to make sure that we're doing that all the time. But not only that, but it also is going to result in a monetary savings for our taxpayers. All of our city taxpayers pay county taxes, and so we're county taxpayers as well. And so if we save taxpayer dollars by co-locating and are able to save money by doing that, then that's a tremendous boon for us. And that savings is going to come from the county is putting together a new radio system that is partnering with the city on our radio system that we currently have on board. And when they partner with that, just not having to put in that new equipment at Southgate and having that equipment in at Murfreesboro Police is going to save at least a couple of $100,000. And then we anticipate probably anywhere from a $5,000 to $10,000 per month savings just in phone lines and other charges that we would have to have in place to keep that center going, much less the operating expenses of having a secondary center on Southgate. And so it's going to be very good for all of the taxpayers for us to co-locate together. But the greatest thing is it's going to reduce the amount of time it takes to dispatch calls.
Our phone number, 615-893-1450. We only have about 10 minutes left. So if you haven't gotten your text in yet or your phone call, give us a text or call. Either one, whatever is best for you. 615-893-1450. We have quite a few more texts to get to. We'll be right back.
Start your weekdays with the early show from 4 to 6 a.m., followed by the wake-up crew from 6 to 7:50 on News Radio WGNS.
Get ready for the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes, the largest official game of Super Bowl Squares ever, with millions of dollars in prizes. And best of all, it's free to enter. Every score change during Super Bowl 54 pays out $50,000. That's right, touchdowns, field goals, safeties, even extra points. We'll draw one lucky winner from the corresponding square to win $50,000. It could be you! Plus, two grand prize winners will win $500,000 they could use toward their dream home. One way to enter, two ways to win. See rules and enter now at RocketMortgageSquares.com. Then tune in February 2nd to see if you win. Rocket Mortgage, official mortgage sponsor of Super Bowl 54.
No purchase necessary. 18 years or older, except Alabama, Nebraska, and Mississippi. Ends January 30th. Licensed all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. The NFL is not sponsored promotion in any way.
Sure, we'd thought about downsizing and moving. What we really wanted was a new family room. So we called Ron Hall at Farrer Construction. He made that dream come true. Later, we decided to renovate the kitchen and then the bathroom. Both times, it was Ron Hall at Farrer Construction. Why don't you call Ron Hall at Farrer Construction Company? 615-893-6120. Farrer Construction Company.
Well, good morning. Still a lot of traffic volume out here, but it's moving on 24 westbounds. We check it out live here up by Walden Road, Sam Ridley Parkway. Just busy out here where you would expect this time of the morning, especially headed towards the Nashville area. Buying or selling a home, call Nikisha and Tony Tate at Exit Master Realty. The Tate team, call 615-554-9795. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Partial sunshine develops here this afternoon. We'll see high in the mid-40s. Winds out of the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy skies and a low near 33. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 20.
This is Jeff Graham with Tire World. I want to invite you to visit our new off-road department at our Memorial Boulevard location, featuring lift kits, leveling kits, light bars, as well as wheel and tire packages. Just come by and ask for Gator for all your off-road needs. That's Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
The Daikin Fit from Precision Air for your home's heating and air system. No money down and financing starting as low as $89 a month. Call Precision Air, 615-834-3777. Online at precisionairtn.com.
If it's passed, bounced, or hit, WGNS is there with our microphones. MTSU and local sports coverage is on WGNS.
Murfreesboro Fire Chief Mark Volks is with us this morning. And here's another text question. This one's for a listener. Said, when you mentioned about the active shooter classes, has that ever happened? Have there, maybe not in Murfreesboro, but have there been active shooters at fires? That ran through my mind, too. You just don't think about that too often.
Yeah, and the training that we did is to be able to handle active shooter events where it's in a school or a church or any other location that an active shooter event may happen, like you've seen happen in other places. Thankfully, we haven't had that in Murfreesboro, and hopefully we won't have that happen in Murfreesboro. But yes, there have been active shooter events at fires. I know in Memphis, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago that there was a firefighter killed, and essentially it was a shooter that was kind of laying in wait for the firefighters. He had a beef with the firefighters about something that had happened, and so he set a home on fire and laid in wait and actually shot at the firefighters as they came in, and one of the firefighters, Memphis firefighters, lost his lives. And so those are situations that we try to become very aware and cognizant of as we're responding to events and making sure that we understand what our surroundings are at all time, because unfortunately it's not like it used to be. You know, when I came on the fire service, the last thing I worried about was getting shot when I came off the truck or actually responding to an event where someone had shot a lot of people. And unfortunately now that's a situation that we have to prepare for. Our personnel are trained to be situationally aware at all times of their surrounding and what's going on with wherever they're responding to at all times, and making sure that we're prepared for whatever event may occur.
Another text here says, do firefighters now have some of the same training and same qualifications as a law enforcement officer? Are you now essentially a law enforcement officer?
No, we are not. We do not have the same training as law enforcement officers as far as, you know, even weapons training and things like that. We do not do the same things that our friends and our partners in blue over at Murfreesboro Police Department or with the Sheriff's Office do. And, you know, it's two totally different roles. We just do, you know, we perform our role when it comes to an active shooter situation, which is making sure that we stop the bleeding on the patient. We have found over time that a lot of the patients that have died, the victims that have been involved in active shooter events have actually bled out while we're trying to clear the building to be able to get medical responders in there. And so the things that we're doing is partnering with the police department and the sheriff's office and the other police departments in our area to be able to go in even while the shooter is still in the building to be able to start treating and extract those patients that are in there injured to make sure that they can survive.
One thing about text messages, they take us from one subject to the other one quickly, and we're back again to the fires. And this one is from a listener who's asking, there was conversation at one point about having sprinklers in new homes. Would that be the solution to the quick burning that we now see?
Yes, sprinklers in homes, sprinklers in any environment can help control and contain a fire very well, and I highly recommend them if you choose to have them. Most communities, you know, as closely as we have fire stations located, a lot of our developers don't see the need for sprinkler systems and et cetera, but if it's something that you're interested in as a homeowner, there are capabilities of putting in a residential-type system that are very cost-effective that we highly recommend.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Mark Faulks.
Well, sir, I'm trying to find out who won the ball game between Riverdale and...
Okay, I don't have that information. I am awfully sorry. Call back in about 5 minutes, and I'm sure there will be somebody here who has that. We're talking about fires right now. We have one more text here, and the text is, tell us a little about the Fire Academy. Is that a good thing for the public to go through?
Absolutely. We would love for anybody that's interested to come through the Citizens Fire Academy. You get to experience a lot of the things that our firefighters experience just in a much more safe environment. We put you in our turnout gear. We allow you to go up on the big tower truck and go up in the bucket on it and experience a lot of the same things that we do as a fire service. We teach you CPR and teach you a lot of great things about fire safety as well as ways to protect your family within the community. But I think it's a great program. Our community risk reduction division, that's another avenue that they do as far as all the things that they do to help make our community safe. And they do a fantastic job of developing and the curriculum for that program. And I think it's a very well spent that you would enjoy.
We have about 30 seconds left. Give us an update, if you would, on the Doug Young Training Facility on Bridge Avenue.
Yeah, currently right now we have plans. We should be doing the pre-construction meeting here before long, and they should be starting construction within the next few weeks on an outdoor classroom building, which is basically, I guess it's a covered patio area that's going to be able to be used for debriefings and stuff when we're over there doing our major training. We also have plans have developed plans, and it looks like we may be building an administrative and a true classroom building over in the corner, in the front corner there, that would house all of the Murfreesboro Fire Rescue Administration as well as our community risk reduction team, and we'll have classrooms upstairs to where we can host classes that we commonly have to teach. That's one of our big needs in the fire department right now. We're actually using Bradley Academy, and Parks and Recreation and the staff at Bradley Academy have been very accommodating to us as we're training our personnel on advanced EMT. We're using that place, but that's one of the major spaces that we need. So the training center is being used almost every day in some regard or another by law enforcement or by us or by our friends at the police department. And, you know, we're utilizing it a lot, but there are several different things that we're going to do to make sure that it's upgraded and continues to get better.
Murfreesboro Fire Chief Mark Faulks, our guest this morning. Mark, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Stay with us. Truman's next, right here on WGNS Murfreesboro.